And so if you will turn to Philippians chapter 4, we're going to do something today that may be a first at Hillview, the whole chapter. And as we close out the book of Philippians, we enter into a season of that Holy Week, and so I want you to get your minds focused. I hope that you have cleared out the week. There is nothing more important in that week than you celebrating your faith. I hope that you will be there at the noonday Bible studies to be reminded of the journey of Jesus Christ so that you and I may have grace. I hope that Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday night are already dedicated to the reflection and the worship of the great mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here at Hillview on Saturday, we go silent. Because Saturday was a day of great mourning. Jesus Christ had been crucified. He had prophesied the resurrection, but it was yet to happen. And then on Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday morning here, we plan on opening everything up. God will open up and rejoicing and giving great praise that every one of us in here, because of the blood of Jesus, because of the resurrection of an almighty God, because of the power and the love and the grace of God, you and I get to live this life. Does anybody celebrate that that is for real? And so as believers, this is a big week. Holy Week's a big week for us. This is our faith. Now, some of the kids are going, should I miss school for Good Friday? Yes. They miss it for Ramadan. Now, you don't need to miss school and go fishing. You miss school and focus on the Lord. We got to start standing up for our faith. It's time to stand up for our faith. Amen. The last time I checked, I went to school back in an old era of time where they actually taught the Constitution of the United States of America. I actually had a history class, not a revised history class. And the last time I checked that what made this nation great is that every voice had opportunity to speak. And if it offended you, well, speak your side of the story. But we didn't have opportunity to shut down voices that disagreed with us just because our feelings were hurt. Now, what's interesting is I close out the letter to the Philippians. There are a lot of competing voices in Philippians chapter 4. There's always competing voices to the faith. You have other religious systems that say, nah, Jesus is not the way, we're the way. But most of all, we have this voice. We think what we think is more important than what God said. That's the loudest voice in our head, isn't it? Well, I think, I feel, I will. But then there are these great realities. What did God say? Not what do I think, not what my grandmama told me, not what did my aunt tell me, not what did the TV tell me. In fact, I think I ought to just put my sermon on the screen. If it's on the screen, some of you think it's true. It amazes me today what we embrace is truth. With no credibility, no checking facts, listening to the bumper sticker and rolling on. How many of y'all? Now, I know at 8 o'clock I'm preaching to the choir. Let me help you. When I get to 11 o'clock, I'm going to be preaching. They're going to be looking at me with deer in the headlights. What? You mean you? If you say something that's offensive, you have a right to do that? Watch this. Yeah. You know what? We had some offensive moments in this nation. Now, I'm not saying we're the great holy nation on the earth. Okay? We're not. There is none. There never has been. There never will be here in this dimension because all nations are made up with people. Have y'all noticed that? All systems are made up with people. Have y'all noticed that? If somebody tells you they got a perfect marriage, run. You're in the midst of a false prophet. When people come together, we have flaws. And so, you know, Paul even addresses those flaws. Now, this is for the body of Christ. How many of you are at least this far along? Believers ought to live a little bit different than those who don't believe. What do you think? Now, so I'm going to challenge you all. Quit spending so much effort trying to blend in. You're never going to blend in. And you ought to say, thank God. If you want to be a part of the majority, this is the majority. The majority will not see heaven. The majority will not see heaven. I didn't say that. Bobby, they didn't tell me up there at the seminary. Jesus said that the pathway to destruction is which direction? Anybody remember that scripture? The pathway into destruction is wide. True? That means what? A lot of people can fit on it, right? How many of y'all have noticed it's easier to go to hell than heaven? How many of y'all just naturally do the wrong thing? How many of y'all, it doesn't even take much to get you to do the wrong thing? How many of y'all, somebody can just mention it and say, yeah, let's go do that. How many of y'all have ever done something stupid and while you were doing it, you knew it was stupid, but you went ahead and did it anyway just because you had some other stupid people with you? And I don't know what this is, but it's just funny in humanity. We think if we go to hell in a big group, somehow it's safer. You know, we don't like to go alone. Have you noticed that? If we're headed for destruction, we always like to take somebody with us. Have you noticed that? It's like, oh, come on, go with me, man. This is going to be awesome. Well, what are we going to do? Well, we're just going to go get messed up. We'll go get messed up by your own self. But we always, how many of y'all found us that when we want to mess it up, we want to take somebody else to mess up. We think there's a discount rate, 2 for 1. But then there's these individual decisions. Now, first thing we got to do, let's look at the fourth chapter. First thing, getting along is important. I think those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our job is to not be obnoxious. It is to be a wonderful witness to the world. Now, this is a troubled area in the church. And Paul addresses it. Iodia and Syntyche, they are in an argument. Now, you all have never seen that at Hillview, hadn't you? Two people that get in an argument and they get some personal issue, and their personal issue overrides the great mission of God. Now, you got to be careful with this because the devil will always show you who you don't like at church. Have you noticed that? How many of y'all have ever walked in a new church and the first thing you did is picked out all the people you didn't like in there? Well, you see, that's the devil. Because guess what? Our job is to get along. To get along with each other. So I think you got to wake up to some things. First of all, we're all not going to agree on everything. True or false? True. We're just not going to agree on everything. Anybody in here married? Anybody in here married? How many of y'all are married? How many of you all agree? Now, you're married. You love each other. You've signed a covenant before God. You've prayed before one another. You've asked God to seal your vows. How many of you all, though, agree on everything? Shirley, you said that mighty quick. How many years you and Freddie got in now? You've been doing 43, no parole. All right, check this out. 43 years, Shirley. So in 43 years, you found some things that you disagree with Freddie on. But you still stay with him. You still love him. You still work it out. And you all still have a beautiful relationship. You know why that works? When you're not God, you can get along. Somebody needs to write that down. When you're not God, you can get along. But a lot of us think we're God. We think everybody ought to think like us, look like us, react like us, do life like us, eat the same meals we do, live in the same kind of house we do, listen to the same kind of music we do. And if you don't do what I do, then you're not what? You're not correct. Let's make sure in the church, this is a good warning to us, make sure the mission of God is greater than our personal preferences. You know, along the years, we've done a pretty good job there. We've had a couple of bobbles with that. But guess what? God has come through in spite of those. Okay, that's just part of being church. But I want you to see, we need to get along. We need to get along. You all may not know this, but I tick other pastors off. I mean, I don't even have to say anything. I can just walk in the room and they're mad because I'm not supposed to be a pastor, because nerds are supposed to be a pastor. And since I didn't grow up in the little nerd camp and I don't do little nerdy things, then I'm disqualified. I'm not holy enough. I don't know what happened to them. They ought to read the Bible. God does not save us because of our personality. God saves us because of his great mercy. Okay, is everybody cool? Can I move on? I got to move quick today. So first thing to check as we come into Holy Week, watch your personal preference over God's great grace. And get along with folks. How many of y'all can get along with people you don't like? I do. I'm a pastor. Yeah, you got to get along sometimes with people you don't like. I try my best to get God's issue in the midst of controversy. Now, there's always going to be controversy. Y'all cool with that? Somebody always going to disagree with you. Now, there's some good things about disagreement. Disagreement ought to lead to tension that helps us discover truth. Back in the old days in America, in the United States, the place we used to live, we used to have two parties. Y'all remember this? They called it a right wing and a what? A left wing. Now, the beauty of this system is in between the tension of those two ideologies came some better ideas. And our nation functioned quite well. Well, like nobody's ever seen for about 200 years. Now, if you notice, we can't agree on anything. Why? Because the right wing thinks they're all right, and the left wing thinks they're all. And so we're flying with one wing. Have you all ever seen an eagle soar with one wing? Can a bird fly with one wing? Neither can a nation. How many of you all would like to board a plane down here in Nashville? And Southwest says today, we are so absolutely upset with the right wing. We've cut every right wing off our plane today. Welcome to your flight. What's going to happen? You're not going. What if you go to another airlines and they say, we're so mad at our left wings today, we're going to cut our left wings off today. How many of y'all want to get on that plane? Huh? Now, this ain't flying out of Malaysia. I'm talking flying out of Nashville. Huh? How many of you they did this? Listen, we are so upset at tail wings on planes today. It's a tail wing. That's the independent party. A tail wing back there. We're going to cut the tail wings off the back. How many of y'all still want to fly? They don't look like they're not as big as the big wings. It's the little wings in the back. How many of y'all want to fly the plane without the little wings in the back, Trish? You want that flight? So it takes a little bit of everything to make it all happen. Amen? Paul's reminding them of that. Get along. Yodi and Sintica, do not allow your personal preference to override God's great mission. And then he sends us down. What's the solution to living loud? The solution to living loud is in the fourth verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. How many times?
Always.
How many of y'all rejoiced in the Lord today? It's a tough weekend. It's hard for me to say see you later to Ed. Ed and I have known each other since I was a child. He's been a part of my journey here on life. But guess what? I rejoice because I absolutely know where he absolutely is. So even in the midst of death, those of us that believe can rejoice. Now, I want you to know I can't always rejoice in death. I don't rejoice when somebody has no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, has never given their life to Christ, has never repented of their sins. That is a final moment. I will never see them again. In all of time. Now, my mind can't conceive of all of time. All I know is the time that I've had. But that's a long time. Does that show you the intensity of the gospel? So let me ask you a question. Which one of your personal preferences is worthy of someone going to hell? Stew on that a second. Which one of your personal agendas is worth interrupting the gospel so someone else would never receive the gospel? Well, Betty Lois, that puts it where it is, doesn't it? And Paul said, you know what I've learned to do? I've learned to surrender what I think for who God is. I think that's a pretty good rhythm for us, don't you? I'm going to surrender what I want to be what God wants me to be. But there's an operating word there. Guess what? You can't rejoice till you what? Surrender. And I think this is a great surrendering point. How many of you all believe this? God has it figured out and I'm somewhere in it. God already has it all figured out. When God looks at the end of time, he doesn't go, oh, me. I mean, God's got it in control. God is bringing his people to him. God will not leave his people. We just sang that beautiful scripture out of Romans. Not death, not demons, not governments, not powers, not principalities. None of those things will separate us from the love of God. He said, I got it figured out. So get along and get into God. One of the ways to get into God, I want to challenge you this week. How many of y'all need a good dose of rejoice? How many of y'all glad to be alive today? Say that ought to wake you up. You're alive today. That means you're capable. That means something great can happen. And now some of you, I know I got some negative nannies in here, and you go, well, it also means I'm not ahead, something bad can happen. Yeah, and you usually find it. You know why? Because your little omni range all the time in your brain is looking for what is wrong. How many of y'all find this? If you look for what's wrong, you'll find what's wrong. If you look to have a bad day, what will you do? That's exactly right. Y'all need to hear from the mouth of Babe. She's a better preacher than I. But what if you did this? Wait a minute. I'm going to embrace the day. Okay, first thing we did is get up this morning. How many of y'all glad to be up? How many of y'all were rejoicing that the sun came out? How many of you all have blue on because you rejoiced greatly last night? Amen. Now check this out. You know what I loved about that game? You know what I loved about? I saw a Wisconsin church in here, but we welcome everybody. You know, Jamie last week corrected me. He goes, you know, there were some big teams, Big Ten teams left last week in the tournament. I said, yeah, but I'm a prophet. I was talking about this week. I wish he'd have been Florida. Been two SEC teams in the championship, and I had to go to Jamie. What happened again? Florida was the number one seed, but they're not playing in the number one game. Kentucky, an 8 seed. UConn, a 7 seed. Now, all the great, you know, those who can predict and those who have crystal balls and those who have sports prophecy in them, they didn't predict either one of those two teams to be there because they look at what they know. But you know what? Kentucky and UConn refused to listen to the commentators. Kentucky forgot that they were freshmen. Kentucky forgot that their season wasn't very good. Kentucky forgot about what everybody said about them and decided to play in the moment. I don't know about you, but I was nervous last night. Kentucky all night long last night forgotten. They had forgotten how to shoot a three-pointer. I mean, it just left their ability. Until, what was it, 5.7 seconds left in the game, and they decide to learn how to shoot a three. I saw that and I went, that was a three. And it went in. Now, my Warren Central math, I had to go fast. I said, Elizabeth, bring me the calculator. And we went up. No, I'm kidding, Kathy. I could figure it in my head real quick. Because Elizabeth was with me. She looked, she said, we're up one. I said, all right. See, football's a little easier on me. We go by 7, so bigger chunks. And I went, wow, we're up by one. 5.7. I don't know about you, but I still was not confident with 5.7 seconds left on the clock. Were you? You know why? I'd seen Wisconsin hit threes all night. I'd seen them hit every free throw but one. They missed the one that mattered to Kentucky, and Kentucky hit the one that mattered to Kentucky. What if we lived that way? What if we lived to win? What if we lived to rejoice? What if we lived in the moment instead of always whining about the past or predicting how bad the future is going to be? Y'all hear people like that? Lord, have mercy. If you turn on the internet, we're having a financial crisis every other week. And they're going to sell you a $100 packet to help you survive the financial crisis. That's so they don't have a financial crisis.
They've learned how to take advantage of the moment. And then there's people like my father. I asked him, I said, Dad, what happens if the whole economy collapses? He said, well, you eat noodles. And he said, son, you'd be amazed at how many creative ways you can cook beans. And he said, instead of going to the store to make bread, you really learn how to love cornbread. And he said, you know what? You can live on that. I went, what? Beans every night? He said, beans every night. He said, occasionally on the weekends, you throw some rice on top of them. You have rice and beans. That's called a gourmet meal. He said, billions of people do it every day. Well, my father does. We're going to find a way to make it. What do? We talk about the way it used to be, and then we complain about the way it's not, and then we interrupt what could be. See, Paul's saying, rejoice in the Lord. He's saying, I've learned how to rejoice. Check what Paul said. I've learned how to live. That God's in charge no matter what my circumstance. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say what? Let your reasonableness be known to all, to everyone. We need to be reasonable. Those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, our job is not to scream and shout and holler sin out of the world. On the other hand, our job is not to apologize for the lives that God gives us. You know, if you look at me, you know, I got these friends. Well, do you think we're better? Do you think you're better than us? I said, absolutely not, but I got a better God than you do. This has nothing to do with me. This has to do with what's in me. God, it is better to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ than not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What conclusion have you all come to? Now, I'm a believer. If you choose not to believe, guess what I say? That's your business. But don't try to keep me from being a believer just because you choose not to be a believer. I'm going to be a believer. We'll wait till the trumpet blows and we'll see how it goes down. If you're willing to take a risk at the trumpet, it's none of my business. Other than this, you look at me and tell me you didn't know how to be saved, I'm going to go, they're lying, God. You already know they're lying. I told them every Sunday about a cross. I told them about a resurrection. I told them they had to repent from their sins. I told them there's no such thing as easy believism. And I told them every Sunday because I knew I'd have one that pointed their finger at me on the day of judgment. Said, you didn't tell me the whole story. I told you the whole story. But you said, no, I'm not going to rejoice. I'm going to do it my way. And if you do it your way, you'll usually find destruction. How many of y'all found there's more destruction in your way than his way? Yeah, Paul found that out. And he said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to learn to rejoice. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to who? To everybody. Let it be known to everybody. Be thankful and grateful. How many of us could use a good dose of thankful and grateful? We're not a grateful people, are we? Do y'all realize we live much, I mean, beyond so many people in the world. We get to do so many things. And yet we fuss and complain about what we don't have. Think about it for a minute. Just think in your own life. How many of you all don't have what you need? Just think about it. How many of y'all got food? There's some gotta haves. Watch this, I'm gonna blow y'all away. Hold on to your neighbor. Did you know that you can live a human life without air conditioning? Did you know you can drive an automobile without air conditioning? We have some people in this room that used to go to Florida. Now, I know this is going to be to Florida without air conditioning in their vehicle. The young people are amazed right there. And when they got stuck, they did not have a cell phone to call anybody. There are people in this room that used to go on vacations and were happy with two windows down and 60 miles an hour. Freddie, you were one of them. Freddie, you remember that?
I remember all that.
Do you remember taking Shirley out without air conditioning in the car? She had that fan from the funeral home just hitting that thing a lick up there. Huh? And rode a motorcycle? You rode with Freddie on a motorcycle. Well, you ought to rejoice today. You are lucky to be here today. See what I'm saying? How many of y'all realize people did that? Did y'all realize there were people in our nation that are in this room, that lived in this room? Watch this. You kids, hold on to your seats. Y'all hold on to your seats. Raise your hand if you remember growing up without a TV in your house. How many of y'all remember no cable? Probably the greatest era of time. How many of y'all remember when the news was the news? 5:30 to 6 o'clock with Walter Cronkite, And it was religion. I mean, it was kind of crazy. Back then, news stations, guess what they did? The news. They didn't give their opinions. And newscasters, they didn't look like models. They looked like Walter Cronkite. Paul Harvey. And they were mad at everything. Today, in our nation, it was the facts, and that's it. One set of commercials. It was the news. Serious. Then we were done with the news, and our parents would be depressed. We didn't know why, because we were just hoping the news would hurry up and get done, because the Brady Bunch was coming on after that. See what I'm saying? We've lived. No matter what era of time, God has always been the same. Did you realize that Jesus Christ saves people the same yesterday, today, as he does tomorrow? Check this out. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. I say, always rejoice. And he learned this. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be known to who? To God. We need to pray it up. We need to live it out. And you know what else we need to do? We need to start believing it can be. Paul goes on, as you heard in the letter. He said, I've been in plenty and I've been in want. I've been in times where I've had a lot and I've been in times where I've had nothing. How many of y'all, that's a part of your journey? Part of your journey. I remember when Elizabeth and I got married, nothing. We didn't have nothing. She just had a great love for me. That quickly changed. We lived in old houses. But you know what? I remember our first old house. This old house is drafty. We heated with wood. But it was a paradise for us. Why? It's all we had. It was cool. We got to live together in marriage. We were married. Did we know what we were doing? No. Should we have been married? No. But you know what God did? He said, I'm going to take this moment, and if you'll learn to rejoice in me, even though you have not been real smart, I'm going to show you that I'm greater than your circumstance. Somebody hear what I'm preaching today. And that needs to be awakened in the hearts, not of this world, but of God's people. I'm not calling on the world to live like Christ. They can't. But I'm calling you and I to live like Christ so that the world might see Christ. It's time to wake up. And I'm going to tell you what else you got to do. You got to speak up. I know that you all think this is Christianity. Well, we're just going to let everybody bash us and we're just going to sit there with a little smile on our face. That's what they did in Nazi Germany. As a madman took over the country, all the Christians sat there with their tea crumpets and remain silent as a hideous, evil, manipulative, charismatic man almost took over the world. But we were too polite to confront. We didn't want to offend. You see, you got to watch the enemy. He's slippery. How many of y'all understand this? I want you to really understand this, Gary. Satan has no capability to love. Can you imagine being an entity with no capability to love? Can never love. totally without what? Love.
So here's what Satan does. He doesn't have love, so he's got to have something, Larry. You know what he does? Since he can't love, you know what he creates? Tolerance. How many of you all would tolerate drinking rat poison? What if your children came and said, hey, we just want to sip a little arsenic. Is that okay? What would you tell them? Please say no. Or would you go, well, we just want them to have this experiment to see how it's going to be. Or would you say, no, that's deadly. That's not profitable to their lives. That's not going to bring them into being. And you would stop them and you would speak up because it's harmful. Paul says, rejoice, man. Keep people in the things that make them wonderful. And let's see what those are. He gives a list. And I want to end on this today. Stay focused. Stay focused, church. Stay focused, believer. Stay focused, daddy. Stay focused, mama. Stay focused. Finally. Brothers, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of what? Praise, think about these what? Things. How many of y'all need to just kind of, let's think about these things. How many of y'all glad to know that God would forgive anybody in this house today? In Jesus Christ. That's amazing.
And some of you go, well, now, Pastor Ayers, I believe that's a primitive mythological belief. I graduated from a superior university. I'm not impressed I have alphabets.
For all of you that are impressed with your alphabets, that ought to tell you they're not that impressive. You know, everybody likes to focus. They go, well, I studied. You know what? If I studied, you know what that means? You studied one thing for a long time. That doesn't mean you know everything. That means you know a lot about what? One thing. Well, there's a lot of things, and you know about what? One thing. I'm glad you know about your one thing, but your one thing doesn't mean you know everything. You ever seen a doctor try to change oil? I have. Have you ever tried to see an oil changer do brain surgery? I have not. We all got our thing. Rejoice in God's thing in each other. And let me tell you something. I believe this. I believe there's nothing impossible with God. This verse has been a life verse for me all my life. It's interesting what went on last night to get to this verse. I can do all things, not by myself. And they lied to y'all, that little choo-choo train. Remember that little choo-choo train story?
I think I can.
Well, if you got it, if you ain't got it, you can't. There's some things you can't do. Welcome to life. You're going to fail. You're going to have some failure in life. I want you to hear the truth here. I want our children to hear the truth here. And all you parents, guess what? Y'all are raising somebody's nightmare. Telling your kid that they're perfect. Guess what? She's going to grow up and believe she's perfect. And then she's going to get a husband. And he doesn't believe she's perfect. And then she'll call home. You mamas, quit telling your son he's an angel. He ain't an angel. He's a male. There are no males that are angel, ever. You go, well, I've never seen him. That's exactly right. You've never seen him. You're telling the truth. All of us have flaws. How many of y'all can grip that? All of us got flaws. I got flaws, you got flaws. Look at the person next to you. Tell them, you got a flaw. Now tell the other one next to them, they got a flaw too. Okay, good, now we got over it. Everybody okay? Anybody having a psychological collapse here? Is anybody's self-esteem so falling apart you can't survive? Watch this, I'm gonna give you something, man. This is awesome. How many of y'all have ever heard this Bible verse? The truth will set you free. Elizabeth and I got a church out near our house. It's a cool church, and they got cool signs. Last night, he put this one up. He said, the truth will set you free, but it will not always make you happy. That means truth brings us to life. And sometimes coming to life doesn't always feel good. Maybe life's greater than feeling good. Maybe it's about doing whatever is pure and noble and commendable. And maybe it's this.
whether in plenty or in want, but in every circumstance, learning this. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. No matter what's going on. That's great, isn't it? No matter what's happening on the outside, I have learned this, says Paul. I can do all things through him who strengthens what? Me. And so I want to leave you with this. May the glory of God be seen in us, Nathan. How in the world should we act with each other? Well, we should greet each other. Look at this. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. That means we're in Christ Jesus. That means everybody in here is worthy in Christ Jesus. How many of y'all cool with that? Now, does everybody have equally good ideas? No, good, thank you. Anybody else know that? Not every idea is as good as another idea. If somebody doesn't use your idea, guess what? Cool, you may be on the next round of ideas. But not every idea you have is the greatest. How many of y'all have ever gone on one of these summer vacations with another couple where you had to do everything they wanted no matter what? How many of y'all ever went back with that couple on vacation? If you did, you're stupid. That's not everything we want is the best thing to do. Make sense? Like some of you ladies took me to a quilting show, I would not be as jazzed up about that as you are. And if I took you to a motorcycle show, that would probably not interest you. Those are just different interests. One's not better than the other. Look at here. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And may that be our spirit with each other. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your what? Spirit. May you be everything that Jesus Christ has made you possible to be. You imagine if we all started embracing that attitude with each other, what the Church of Jesus Christ would look like in the United States and to other parts of the world. We do have some things to repent of. We've been selfish. We've been prideful. We've not been very humble. We've cared more about our personal needs than the needs of others. Those are reality facts. Here's the great news of following Jesus Christ. When you get messed up, you can stop, confess, repent, and redirect. How many of you all found that the great news of the faith? You know what I love about being a human being? Here's what I love about human beings. How many of you all are capable of changing your mind? How many of y'all have noticed a lot of times when you change your mind, it'll change your heart? How many of you all have you done things in church in your lifetime that you never imagined doing in church? Have you even done some things in church that a few decades, they would say the church would open up and be swallowed by a massive hole if you did that in church? But we've done things that came out of the Bible and not just out of our cultural preferences. Make sense? And God is blessed. Let's continue on. Amen. Go back and reread the fourth chapter of Philippians. There's a lot more in there. These are kind of the highlights. Let's get along. Let's rejoice. Let's be confident that Jesus Christ is going to do what? Bring us through, Betty Lois. He's going to bring us through. And guess what? Let's really want the grace of God to be in everybody's spirit. And if we practice share in love and grace, guess what? God's miracles will be before us. They're still happening. Amen? Y'all excited today? That doesn't sound excited. That sounds like, y'all ready for spring? Some of y'all planting your gardens. Once it dries up, you can till them up. And, man, it's time to do another spring summer. But you know what? I'm praying for this. People need to come to Christ. Some of you today in this room, you need to change your mind. You've been around God, but you've never asked God into your life. You know what tragically breaks my heart? There are people that have sat in church all their life and not saved. Lost his Easter egg on Saturday afternoon. They get around church. They hear, but they can't hear. The Bible talks about this predicament, doesn't it, Reverend Jim?
It says it's a group of people that are ever seeing and ever hearing, but never believing. And what flips the switch is when you really, you know why a lot of people don't want to follow Jesus Christ? It's going to change you.
And what do we hate to do? I'm going to tell you what I'm up against in today's time.
Well, Jesus violates my rights.
Well, help my England sister out. That's my rights. This is kind of a Kentucky version of England. Rights. How many of y'all hear that? My rights. Debbie, you were in the education system all your life. Didn't you get... Now, you can answer me now. You don't have to... Merle, he's retired too. But watch this. Didn't you get sick and tired of hearing about everybody's rights? Merle, didn't you get sick and tired of hearing about everybody's rights? Coach Cox, Lord have mercy. I mean, you coached the first football team after the flood, and you've been coaching up to the lights, and coach... Didn't you get sick and tired of hearing all the mothers tell you how great their children were? Because if they were good, you'd have been playing them, because I coached with you and you never coached to lose. When you're a coach, it's just awful. All these moms, well, I want to know why you didn't play my kid. Well, I wish I could tell them. Because he stinks. But you don't say it like that because it'll hurt their what? Well, you really don't say it like that because you don't want to be called into Merle's office for causing a great stink at the Friday night football game. What if you could just tell them the truth? See, we think it's our way. Now, come on, let me show you what grace does. Grace says, I'm going to take your way. Is that cool? And I'm going to give you my way. God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. Now, he says, anybody, I love this about God, anybody who repents, believes, and receives goes. Anybody, whosoever. Aren't you glad God didn't say this? Well, only the ones I like get to go. Aren't you glad? Claypool, I don't know if you and I had been on the list. What do you think? And we might have missed the list. I'm glad. Now, Brenda had been on the list. I don't know about you, Jerry. I don't know what you're laughing about. I don't know if you've been on the list either. Mr. Jackson, you better be careful over there. I know Nancy's on the list. But you see what happens is, guess what? God doesn't do it that way. He says, whosoever. Oh, how beautiful and open. You want to talk about openness? There's openness. It's the only place you'll find equality. We have all equally failed before God. That's why I love all my people. They look at me, well, Pastor Ayers, I'm a good person. I said, by what standard? Most of you who think you're good by your standard. I mean, I judge myself pretty well. My wife judges me differently. My children judge me differently. You judge me differently than I judge you. I judge you differently than you judge you. True? But God says, before me, everyone in this room is at the same spot in need of grace and mercy. And then guess what he said? If you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin, guess what he's going to do? He's going to forgive you of your what? Sin. He's going to come into your life and you're going to enter the journey. And Paul says, when that happens to a human being, they can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens them. Aren't you glad to know that however it finishes out, God will be there with us at the finish? Let's hope and rejoice in that. Amen. Let's stand together. For those of you that need to be baptized, Easter, big time baptismal service. If you have not been baptized, we are praying that every confessing believer at Hillview Heights Church will take the first step of obedience and be baptized. Please don't leave that hanging around. Step in and be obedient to that. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I got baptized when I was a baby. Man, that's cool. Guess what happened there? Your mom and dad said, I want you to follow Jesus. Now that you've made a conscious decision, how many of you all chose what you ate when you were a baby? I know I didn't. I'd never eaten squash like that. I've never eaten baby food since I was a baby. How about you all? Huh? Tim, I never sit down at a restaurant and say, give me some of that pureed pea.
You see, but your mom and dad loved you so much when they put that, they christened that, they baptized that head, and they said, you know what, we want this child to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like we did today with that beautiful baby, Carson. We said, you know what, we look forward to the day he's in the baptistry. I would confirm that with an adult confirmation. I've made a decision to follow Jesus. I have repented of my sins. I know that Jesus Christ has forgiven me, and I want to confirm that in baptism, knowing that I've been buried with Christ and risen with Christ. I'm telling you, everybody that's had that experience has said, Pastor Steve, that really confirmed my faith. That's what baptism's for. It is a confirmation of the love of God to you. And it is your declaration that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you come up out of that water, guess what? You'll come up and speak up. Does that make sense? Now, let me take away a lie that's been given to the church in America. I don't know where else it's been given. I'm sure it's in other parts, but I know it's here. Somebody told us about 60 years ago that our faith is private. Bull. Our faith is in us, and it is to be declared to the world. It's not private. We have a public crucifixion, a public resurrection, and a public pronouncement on the day of Pentecost. So in the public, you need to give reasonable words of why you follow Jesus to the world. Now, you can't save them, but you sure can tell them. Now, here's the problem. We're not telling them. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I might get fired from my job. Well, God may give you one worth five times that. Here's what I've started praying for. Whoever loses their job for faith, God bless them five times more. If they were making $100,000 a year, I hope they make $500,000 a year. And you know what? I believe God would step into some things like that with the believers if we would step up and believe. Yeah. I'm not going to compromise my faith. I'm not going to bend down to the golden calf. This is not old. You say, well, how do I feed myself? I guess I'm going to be eating quail and manna. Cornflakes and chicken, if you're from Kentucky. That's what God will drop here. Cornflakes in the morning, Kentucky fried in the evening. But God will supply, amen? Let's pray. Lord, those that need to be drawn to grace, you draw them. Lord, I thank you that you're real. I thank you that you stay. I thank you that you're permanent. I thank you have not changed. Lord, I ask that those who need to be saved today will just gracefully walk up this aisle and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Hear me if that's you. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. I believe you're real. And I believe you'll change me. We leave it to God. Maybe today you've already made that decision throughout the week of ministry and you've never been baptized or you need to confirm that confession of faith and baptism. I pray that you would come and see one of the pastors and just let God have that with you. Maybe you need to come today and you just need to pray. Say, God, I need to live out my faith, not in an obnoxious way, but in a graceful way in the midst of this world. Some of you need to ask forgiveness because in your life, you've had times to witness, but you kept your mouth quiet because you'd rather been liked than God be glorified. You know I'm telling the truth. Now look at me. We need to put our bumper stickers away and our t-shirts away and all this jazz. And we need to start living in such a way. Don't you think, Pastor Keith? That people would look at us and say, what is in you? And Sue, when they ask us, we don't need to tell them that we was raised by good parents. We need to say, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. And that has changed my perspective, my relationships, and the way I relate to you. And I do not apologize for following Jesus. And when they start taking you down, well, what about all the other religions? You asked me what is in me, I have told you what is in me, and that is what is in me. That's called bearing witness. And we're responsible to do that, amen? Let's do it, amen? Altar is open. We are free to come and pray and love each other and be saints in the Lord. We're free to be saved. We're free to be baptized. please embrace that freedom. In the name of Jesus, embrace that freedom.